Our last reader of the evening is Aaron Sherin, and he's the author of 12 books of poetry, including just this year, The Skin of Meaning, Collected Literary Essays and Talks, which I like to think of as a poetics book. Aaron Sherin was the first New College graduate in California, which was the school associated with Robert Duncan, Michael Palmer, etc. And they were poetics people, so I always think he's writing poetics. Perhaps that was a University of Michigan choice. Perhaps he thinks of them as literary essays, he can tell us. He also wrote a book called Citizen came out a couple of years before Claudia Rankine's book, so not to be seen as a theft, but rather as a precursor. His writing has appeared in over 30 national and international anthologies and has been supported by grants and fellowships from the National Endowment for the Arts, the California Arts Council, San Francisco Arts Commission, and the Gerbaud Foundation. He directed the MFA in creative writing program at the University of San Francisco for many years, Aaron Sherin.
So the author that decided I would follow Tracy Morris. I should change my name to Sherin Aaron. I'll be very brief. It's been a long couple of days. And it's great to be here at the new old open books. I thought I would read two of the poems that I quoted from in my talk today about the sky. I don't know why I'm losing my voice. So, this is called Still Walking. Look at the sky. It reeks of projection. Look at my eyes. They're tools of the sky. Look at my feet. Still walking. Which way are you walking? Ask the birds. What are you singing? A walk-along song? How does it go? Bird, dome, pink, breeze, mind light in the alphabet trees, and more like that. Look at my smile. It goes up to the right. Is that my sly inflection? A mark of selection? The pitch of glory? The angle of erection? All that, but rhymier. I watched a man who bought a bouquet. Pleasure made him wiggle as he walked away. He swished unawares. The peonies winked and smiled to the right. What was he singing? A wiggling song. How did it go? Back and forth. Ah, the world's a stage. Look at the page. Song. His light, from off his face, or was it in his face? Like that shiny planet of the mind that is in my sky. He's my sky for today. His light, which is my light in my mind. Is he in my face, or my eyes, his sky? He was near translucent after psychedelics when I saw him. Was it my high? Am I now translucent? His light, coming through me. When I saw him on the corner as the breeze blew from the sky within or the sky without, like the birds sing in the bird trees. My planet that he made today with his eye and his skin and his skylight, his light, is his light. The italics do all the inflections on the page. It's called A Measure of Light. blazoned with love as a measure of light, at the city beach where the wind blows, as if on the tongues of the walking men, while the spangled water which is my eyes in their glee refreshes the light and the water and the men who are my glee. And the families are eating where the shade of the high-leafed maple falls, as though sound were muffled of the singing light, or the gulls in their hot shrieks, who are my tongue as it measures my love, and the sun swells in its lowering heat. There is summer in the throng in their party-colored shorts, and the orange umbrella, and the ambling men with their two big smiles and two tight tees, as they walk in that way with their hips slung low, as though riding the ground that is almost the slither of their low-seated love. Wild, slow, wide day. And the herons amassing in a blue cloud with their legs flung behind them in glee, which is summer suspended in the long, low day as the blue cloud sails. This is called The Frame. If beyond the scotch pine and such, light in the levitation, light in the eyes, over forest, over hills, as though flying, what he sees from where he sits, the frame in which the woods below and such, fog nesting in the far peaks, but he can feel the silver thrill of it, high on the hillside, on the far side of, oh, life, he thinks. If through the frame that holds the door ajar, oh, time, he says, a stretching pine arced over the valley floor, oh, past time, new time, all the roar of wind at distant edges of the hilltops around, here in the afternoon, always the afternoon, he thinks. The convergence, the still point, emptied and filled, chair afloat, into the green, shine. And it sort of falls to me to close the kind of convergence. And so here's a very brief piece of prose from the book King of Shadows that's called Hush. I'm completely taken with the hammock under a huge maple tree in my third annual rented summer house, teacher's prerogative, for July's searing blast of California heat. Just 12 miles north of the city, but as far from its soppy fog as per Dickinson, firmament to fin. The hammock's like an awning of green and white stripes, but it's under you rather than over you. The material is padded sailcloth, wide as a bed, not one of those acrobatic nets. So you're thoroughly supported and cushioned as you rock, enveloped in a lullaby of shade. The leaves of the maple grow close to the limbs on short branches and long stems. The tree must get pruned regularly, and they cluster densely, almost like fur, rounded mounds of foliage, rich with shadowy hues. There's such a mass in any given section, you can clearly see the tree's strategy. Star-shaped leaves strain outward to catch every changing slant of sunlight, their surfaces projected flatly into the air by lengthy stems. Little tilting planes of absorption. The whole structure of trunk, limb, branch, stem, and leaf has geodesic integrity, bright green pentagrams splayed over a wooden frame. I've sufficient time to contemplate the teleology of this tree, slung on my back in voluminous shade, arms outstretched like a giant leaf, but angling for the falling shadow, not for light, alone under a dome of dense green silence. Then I lie on my side or curl like a kitten, long removed from my stride that pushed this sling into motion, but still gently rocking. It's only my breath I see now that swings me over the long grass, the slight purposeful push of a pulse. None of this is mine, you know. Not the cottage, not the maple, not the yard, not the fat, flouncy pink zinnias or black violets with yellow nose nubs, not the old long-limbed California oak next door yearning across four lots, or the zooming redwood two blocks away, or the hip little town with its quaint, corny streets, or the wind, of course, that deconstructs this shade into droplets, spattering me with afternoon sun. I could grow old in this hammock. I have grown old. I'm not who I meant to be, but not. I lean back, boat in the air, bark on its way. School's out for a while again. I drink thick coffee, eat fat bruised peaches, sugar heavy. I read in every position, floating on words. Vowels that elope with ease, says Keats, and float along like birds o'er summer seas. The arc of the sun makes no inscription on this unlit zone. I cross my arms in the mummy position and sway.
Phenomenal poets in the back. So enjoy. Thank you all again.